Guess who and guess what? Footy Prime is launching a gin and we're having a party to celebrate. Thursday, June 6th, join the whole FP crew for Footy Prime's one-night stand at Nickel 9 Distillery in Toronto. Come celebrate Footy Prime's one-ball gin with Nickel 9 Distillery mixologists on hand, Charmin's proper pies, meet and greet and photo ops with your favorite primers, and a live Atska's Almost Anything podcast. Footy Prime's one-night stand, June 6th at 7 p.m. till when we kick you out. Tickets at eventbrite.ca. Footy Prime, your almost daily footy fix.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Oi, the boys and girls on Footy Prime on occasion are known to use vulgarities and frankly appalling language. And sometimes the tales can get quite adult in nature. So keep the volume down if there are kiddies around. And thank you for listening.
Oh, let's go!
Booty, booty.
It's time to get this party started.
Booty, booty.
It's time to get this party started. You know that we are the number one show. So grab your fucking mitts and now it's time to go. Cause it's the
booty, booty.
It's time to get this party started. It's the
booty, booty.
It's time to get this party started. With Danny, Jimmy, Gregor, and your drinking JC. All we know and all we talk about is
booty.
It's time to get this party started tonight.
We haven't checked Jimmy's mic though.
Oh yeah,
and his mic hasn't.
Hey,
oh, hey, yeah.
Is this the new mic or the new wire?
No, it's my old one.
So why is it working?
Charms, if I knew that, I would tell you.
Okay. Well, listen. You interrupted our conversation.
Notifications.
About
notification from Jimmy.
Did he turn them off?
No chance.
No, he's scrambling. Look at him.
Am I still? This is good though. The microphone, right?
Yeah,
sounds great.
We were just talking about Dubs, who had to buy her twins bikes for their birthday because they're twins.
Yeah,
double expensive.
That's right.
Not great, right? That's got to be an issue every birthday, right? You got to match.
Do you get to
give one of them up for?
She gave them up for adoption.
Well, one of them anyway.
Yeah. Amy's Choice. Yeah, it's a movie. Amy's Choice. It got too expensive.
At the age of 12, though, you get to make the choice because you got 12 years to figure it out. Which one do you like the most?
But this wasn't about the war, though. This is just like going to the store. Right. It's too expensive at Canadian Tire. Fuck that. One of you is gone.
You could probably sell one outside Canadian Tire.
Oh, the bike or a twin?
A twin.
Yeah. Mm. Yes.
Do you have one that you would sell over the other?
Yes, but I will not be revealing said name publicly.
Evie, you're safe. You're safe, Evie.
It's who gets a better gift.
Are there any twins in football, like who actually made it at the top level? I'm trying to think. Frank and Ronald de Boer weren't twins, were they?
No.
Can you think of any? There must be.
Oh, I'm sure.
I'm trying to think. Anyone out there knows a twin or two twins? One pair of twin. Is that a pair of twins or a set of twins?
A set of twins.
Set of twins?
Yeah. I suppose you could also say a pair. It's just not really the
twin. No, would a pair of twins be four? Four actual people?
Yes, then. I think you're right. It would be.
You also have a pair of pants, which is have two legs.
That's a very good point. That makes no sense at all, does it?
Right? Yeah.
Things
we actually interesting. You mentioned that. So on April 4th, the son of Darren Fletcher, or the two sons, the twin sons of Darren Fletcher, signed for Man United.
Really, Darren Fletcher, the former United footballer, current coach. Wow,
yeah. Yeah.
Good for Darren Fletcher and his missus. Wow. That's great. Well, are they, as what age are they? Are they like, when you sign for United, it's probably quite 12. Young, right? 12. Okay, so you're the academy, like yeah. the kids' academy. Wow. So if just you got double your chances, right? One of them might make it. And then the other one is the least popular member of the family.
Do you have to get two birthday cakes or do you just do one?
Oh, sorry. There's 17.
Question.
That's a great oh. question.
They're 17, but they signed when they were, they started when they were 12, but they
also oh, they're pro papers. They signed then.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. That's a good question though, Jimmy. So it's one cake. Yeah.
The birthday cake. So going, well, I'm thinking about when I, cause I have twin sisters, right? So my mom usually made them each their own cake, which I think was way too ambitious at setting the bar too high. So I've always just done one elaborate cake. And this year I kind of let myself down. I just did one and it was bang average, but it tasted good. So it's okay.
So who cuts grew the cake up in first?
Oh, sorry, Jimmy.
They made Campbell cut it and then like one side of the first slice and then Evie did the other side. So
who blows the candles out?
Oh, see, time. This was an issue as well. So Campbell is kind of the mischievous one, and he's always out for a bit of fun. And his sister usually is the one on the wrong end of it. And he gets the expected reaction. And so he waited until the end of Happy Birthday for there, the Jolly Good Fellow. And then he blew out the candle too quickly. And then Evie snapped. And then so we had to do it again, like, which nobody can deny. And then Evie quickly got in there. And so I was like, really, guys, like, do we have to do this?
It's a horrible experience for everyone, really.
Yeah, it is.
Doesn't sound fun, does it?
No, but it was good. It was just a giant birthday extravaganza of a weekend. And so I'm exhausted.
Are they close? Like really, like twins are close? They get on or do they scrap?
I mean, they scrap, but they get on pretty well. And like all their sport, like they play hockey together, soccer together, and at school, they have like a shared friend group, but they also have their own friends. But no, it's pretty good. They're in the same class, too.
Do they wear the same clothes or the same clothes? Or do you dress them differently?
Oh, they dress themselves. I don't dress them.
Did you ever dress them the same?
Yeah, when they were babies. You know, like Halloween and Christmas, stuff like that.
It's just easier, right? You speak to parents of twins, they say it's just easier having the same clothes. It's kind of weird at a certain age, though, isn't it? If you're like 25 and you're wearing the same clothes as your twin brother, it's like, stop right now.
Yeah, it's weird.
Yeah. It'd be interesting to go back and see like when it would be weird. I feel like 10 is way too old. It would be
Is that the benchmark for weirdness?
I think so. But even younger, I would say. Like school age, you probably shouldn't be doing it. Like same backpacks and stuff like that. Like that's okay. But like I just had them in like onesies the whole time. They weren't ever in like I would go to the mall and then see other parents where the kids would have like shoes and socks and like shorts and a little polo. I'd be like, I'm not fucking doing that. Just in their jammies.
But it was Campbell and Evie's birthday this past weekend.
It's their birthday today.
Oh, today. Hey.
Happy birthday. The celebration. Birthday.
I imagine they will not hear this podcast.
No.
No, but regardless, happy birthday and congratulations. How many years? 12?
10.
No, 10. Wow. 10, a decade ago, you went through all sorts of agony twice.
I did.
Yeah.
All well worth done to it, you. Though.
Well done to you.
I can't believe it. I was talking to JP and some friends, and every birthday, I'm like, I can't believe they're 10. Or like our oldest is 14. Like, I can't believe he's 14. And JP's like, I can. They've been around forever. Like, he just has the opposite kind of perspective on it in like a loving kind of way.
Yeah.
But he almost can't remember life without them. Whereas I'm just like, oh, my little babies are 10 and they're 14. And he's like, fuck, they've been around for ages. Like,
to the dads here. Can you remember life before your child? I sure as hell can.
Yeah. Craig and I out till 5 in the morning, losing our
you
shit
still do
all
that.
The time. No, I go to bed drunk at 10:30.
Okay, fair enough.
Everything's moved ahead. Yeah. Everything's moved ahead.
Okay, well, speaking of moving ahead, Canada Soccer's moved ahead this past weekend with a few things to discuss. First of all, Charmaine Crooks did not stand for re-election, which I think people knew in the inside, I guess. I don't think any of us are that stunned by it. But as such, Peter Ogrusso, who had currently been president and chairman of Ontario Soccer, is now the main man in Canadian soccer circles.
Sorry, before you go on, when you said Charmaine didn't stand for re-election, that means she didn't put her name through, or she said, I can't stand for this. If you didn't like the process.
Can't stand ya. Oh, God, right, Jimmy.
Okay, carry on.
Steinfeld. Jimmy, fix your notifications.
What do you mean?
Someone's notifications just went off.
No, not me.
But then how are people supposed to get drunk during the show?
Yes, exactly. Right. Remember the drinking game?
Drinking
facilitate
people.
The game.
Okay, so is it – people were crying out for new leadership, right, a year ago. And a year later, there's a new president. There's a new general secretary. Is this enough change? Craig, do you think? Is it – let's wait and see what happens now. But is it a step forward?
Well, hey, there's been change, and we'll have to see. Yeah, it's just a case of just wait and see, I think. What are we going to do?
Well, he seems like he's got
it out.
He's a football person, right? He's been a long-time administrator, which isn't always the best thing. He's been a coach, an official, a player, various levels. Jimmy, is it positive? What do you think?
You'd like to think so. I don't know, Sharms. It's difficult right now because we don't really know exactly what's going to happen. Obviously, new president coming in. We don't know what his goals are. I mean, he's already mentioned that it's football first mentality, which is very similar to what Victor Montagliani said when we went to his conference a while back. I don't know. I really don't know what's going to happen with all of this.
You seem cynical, Jimmy.
A little bit. A little bit.
Why is that?
Well, because we've seen change before. Nothing's really happened. Now there's more change coming in. There's certain individuals that are putting pieces in place. Are they the right people to be doing this job? We don't know. And time will tell. And we just got to wait and see who the head coach is going to be.
I think that's probably a very common refrain, given what's happened the last number of years, Dubs, in Canadian soccer circles. Oh, new change. What a surprise. New faces, new voices, same old bullshit. So it really is not perhaps not a statement on the personalities here, but it's like we need to see action here. And I think at the very least, we need a president that's more transparent than Charmaine was, who just didn't speak. You never heard from her. Mm-hmm. I think you need a vocal figurehead, a vocal leader here. And whether that's Peter Ogrusso or not, I don't know. Again, we will find out. But if anything, that's, I think, the first step. Establish yourself, your personality and identity for Canadian football.
Yeah, and get to know the person a little bit, right? Like their ideals, the personality, their kind of pathway to this job. And then I think what you said about communication is key, because that will align with Kevin Blue. And then you all of a sudden have like an overarching message and values and ethos in the way that you're conducting yourself. And I think that goes a long way towards giving people confidence, but that's like a teeny tiny step. Because I'm with Jimmy and Craig. Change, you think. Change usually means good, or you're optimistic that something is going to change for the better. But I think everybody's been burned so badly by this organization with their failure to institute positive change. To do good by way of their senior players, for the youth programming, for just the national sporting organization and moving the sport forward. They're meant to be the leaders. So I think we have a right to feel muted and cynical about this appointment or about this new president. So I think they have to do more than, say, presidents in the past to prove to us that they are the right person for this job. It is going to be seen in the actionable change that the institute, and then perhaps the board members there in support who are voted in. I know, Jimmy, you know, the ex-player who's in there, say good things about him. And then also in what they voted through in increasing the registration charges, and then how that money is going to be divvied up, and how it's going to be some money earmarked for youth programming and some money earmarked for Project 8. So I think, again, that transparency, the right messages, and then the right people behind it who are authentic, all of a sudden gives, I think, Canadians more hope and more confidence in this national sporting organization, because they haven't really earned it in the past.
It's interesting you mentioned there the directors, because it's not just obviously the president. It's a new look to this board with five new board members coming in. Gail Statton from BC, and is that UConn as well? From Terry Matucci from Ontario. Tony Delblon from Quebec, an independent director is Brad Baker, and David Zauza, Jimmy, your former teammate.
Yeah. You know, yeah, well. Zauza. I spoke to Zauza, a while back. Zauzer was my old roommate. Great guy. He's got a good football mind. He's got a great business mind as well. And he's a right fit for that position. He wanted to get on the board because he feels that he can make a difference, which I think he can. And it's nice knowing that there's a football first mentality that's coming from him. He's a no bullshit kind of guy as well, which I like. And hopefully he'll be in a position where people will listen to him. And he'll get the inside scoop of actually what's going on behind the scenes. And knowing Zauzer, he's there for the right reasons. He wants Canada soccer to be better than what it is. And I think it's important that you do get people that are in there for the right reasons, not there for political aspirations, not there making their resume look fantastic so that they can get to where they want to go. Men like Zauzer is in there because he wants to make a difference. So I think it's great that he's on, and I'm looking forward to seeing some of the work that he does.
It's interesting that Kevin Blue was approved by the former leadership group as well. So new leadership group comes in. I find that somewhat interesting how that is going to work. There's no reason to think that it wouldn't work, but he's just on the job. He's answering to a new board, which is interesting, to say very least, Craig. What do they mean when they say football first? What does that mean exactly? It's going to be thrown around a lot by these people in the next little while, I think. Football first mentality. What is that? And was it not football first before?
Good question. Seriously. Yeah, right. You would think it was football first before, and whatever. We'll see.
I think perhaps it means there's so many personal agendas in Canadian football, has been for so long. It's about, like Jimmy said there, it's about pushing your own personal place in the game at the expense of perhaps what's good for the whole picture in Canadian football. Is that what it means? Just pushing away the egos over there. Piss off. We don't want you anymore. We've got to focus as a group, as a country, for what's best for this game rather than these individual, be it provincial level, be it club level. These personal egos at play. Is that what it is?
Well, I think if you look at Canada wants itself to be taken seriously, kind of in the sporting world and footballing world. So if you didn't have people who had their own personal agendas and these political aspirations, then you're not going to come close to the giants of world football, right? I think that's part of it, like the scandals and everything. But I think at least elsewhere, it's under the guise of this footballing first, where you've got programs in place, you've got funding, you've got a focus on grassroots, you're connected with your stakeholders, you've got a real commercial and sponsorship angle that's driving everything. And then you're connected to what's happening provincially as well. You've got the right people in place. So it's, you can talk until you're blue in the face, no pun intended, Kevin Blue. but until you start to take steps to make actionable change, right? To put the right men's head coach in place, make sure your pipeline is more robust, that your youth programming is held up, then you can talk about all of these fancy turns of phrases and things that sound flashy and give you good quotes in the papers. Like it means fuck all. Like you have to be able to walk the talk. So it's, can this next group that's in now, this president, Kevin Blue, the next men's head coach, Bev Priestman, everybody who's kind of the faces of this organization, but then also the people behind the scenes, you have to be doing things the right way. And then when Dino Rossi left, I don't know Dino Rossi from anybody, but he said, the mentality, the approach was not football first. So as an organization, what are you doing? You can put out a strategic plan for where you want to go, but on your day in, day out, if you're not focused on putting out the best brand of football and creating the support staff and then having the money and the resources to support those people, whether they're staff, they're administrators, they're referees, they're coaches, they're players, like what are you even doing? So I think it's seeing that, the evidence of that every day, every week, getting updated on it, and then we can take the right steps to start to ratchet things up from a Canadian soccer perspective.
Can I throw in too? I had no idea what the president did until you guys had this conversation. So I'm going to read a little bit of what the role of the president of Canada Soccer is. and it's quite interesting. The president should not have an operational role. That is to say that they should not be directly involved in the design and delivery of soccer programs. Instead, the president should focus on higher level matters centered around board of directors, broad member wants and needs, and public representation of the club. They come down with more specifics, but basically this unpaid gig is a figurehead spokesperson job. I am interested to see how many fingers get in the broth when Peter, who is a soccer guy, is involved. I mean, this is supposed to be a Charmaine Crooks kind of makes sense when you think of the description of that job, right? This is a figurehead job. It's no more than that. And that will be interesting. And now that I know what that position means, I like, do they even have, other than putting the right people around, like a David Zaza, are we in a place that, are we making too big of this, too big a situation about the president?
No, I think it's a huge job. It's a very important job.
I'm just asking.
No, it's a good question, but you're representing Canadian football on the global stage. Vitor Montaliani did it better than anyone, I think. He had a presence about him. Didn't take any bullshit from anyone. You need that strong personality, that strong face. I think you have to have that in this position. Now, it is volunteer, but it should be paid. I think in the States, they just started paying their president, haven't they? It's a full-time job. You speak to any former president, they'll tell you it's a full-time job. And maybe that's why Charmaine, you know, didn't want to run for re-election. She's busy. She's got a lot of other interests, right? You have to commit to this 100%. And especially given the landscape right now for Canada, okay, you got this labor war at the moment with the players, has to be fixed. You got to find a men's head coach. You got a World Cup in 2 years' time. There's a lot going on. You got a women's professional league starting up next year, right? There's a lot going on for this person in charge who will rely heavily on Kevin Blue or, you know, whoever the general secretary is and their board. But yeah, I think it is an extremely important position, but you have to come at it from a very professional, from a very corporate angle, I think. And there's a lot of positions that need to be filled as well. There's not a director of football, right? I don't think, Jimmy, in Canadian football at the moment?
No.
Right. You have to get that person in place, whether that's the head coach or someone else, I don't know. But you've got to work on that. There's so many different facets for this game which have to get put in place before we make any progress at all, I think. So we will see. $4 registration increase, $9 to $13, will raise about $2 million, just over $2 million, which is good. And 50 cents of that goes to Project 8 Dubs, which was, I guess, officially, it was sanctioned last year, right? But is it now officially sanctioned? Toronto, Vancouver, Calgary, and Halifax confirmed right now. Two more additional markets should be confirmed in the coming weeks. Should Project 8 be satisfied with the 50 cents?
Yeah, I think so. I'm not sure what that translates to, but I think there were two motions. So one was a $3 hike, and then there was an additional motion for a $1 hike where half of that went to youth programming, and then the other 50 cents went to Project 8, as you mentioned. So yeah, I think it's a nice kind of vote of confidence or a nice show of support for the Women's Professional League that's coming. And I think Diana was there giving a presentation on Project 8 as well. So I think, more and more, like when I speak to groups, whether they're associations or schools or things like that, very few know about Project 8. And, even in soccer communities. So I think hopefully in the coming weeks when there's more official announcements, that it's on more and more people's radars, because that's going to be important to galvanize all those people. And the same way that PWHL has seen success, where you get into pockets of populations that maybe don't attend traditional sports. And then you start to build momentum towards, kickoff, which is less than a year away. That's crazy to think.
Can I just in that case suggest that, we are more than happy to welcome any major stakeholder from Project 8 who might be involved to come on our podcast and talk about it whenever you like.
Hmm.
Okay. Well, that's how I feel whenever I'm talking about Footy Prime in Canada. They're like, what do you have? You have that? You have the number one Canadian produced podcast for soccer? Yes. Mm-hmm. Hmm.
So
I didn't know that.
Come on in, reply to the email, at least. There's an option as well. We're here for you to push your message.
Or if we send you a link, you get on the link and you show up to the interview.
Well, there's that as well. There's that as well.
Yeah.
We're just here for you.
You don't give us a yahoo.ca email.
Just that's the email certain people will just give. Yeah, we'd have no interest in doing this at all, but we'll just give them that email.
Yeah. Yeah.
We don't want to say no. Yeah.
Excite.com.
We should though have on broadcast and in the coming weeks we'll have like a sneak peek of those announcements. With a special guest, yes.
Okay, great. Yes, excellent. We also are going to put out the extension to Peter Grusu to come on the show soonish. And Kevin Blue, of course, as well. Now that this is kind of done, the we can start getting these personalities on.
Maybe we get David Zalzon on.
That'd be brilliant. Absolutely. Is he allowed as a board member, or are they forced to like stay quiet in the background?
Good question.
I'm going to find out, I guess, when we ask him.
Yeah.
You know, think these AMs, do you think there's like all these like clandestine meetings late at night?
Yes.
You know? There
yes.
is, right? Hotel,
oh, yeah.
back rooms.
It's like, who do we want? Who are we pushing? These are like
House of Cards, but football.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Absolutely. Who's Kevin Spacey? Is Peter Grosso? Is he Kevin Spacey? The character he plays, not Kevin Spacey, because wouldn't be good.
No,
he's in the news.
He
again,
wants
Kevin.
To disassociate himself from that comparison.
Is he back in the news
immediately?
Again?
He is over Spacey. The weekend.
What's he done now?
Well, he's once again disowning a sexual assault.
Alleged
sexual assault.
Just in case.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right.
And I also heard he's. Bona fide a spokesperson for apartheid.
How is he?
Yeah. So he's joining.
You need to stop bringing that up.
You really have to.
But bona fide emphasis on bone.
Bona fide is like where we can
bona fides. It's a little bona fides there.
But to go back to the annual what was it again? The annual members meeting, all these clandestine meetings, like usually when you think about a secret meeting, a rendezvous, when does it happen? It happens later.
Rendezvous is different.
Right? Okay. Clandestine meeting. under cloak and dagger. It's happening at nighttime, right?
Yeah.
But all of these happen in the morning time. I'll meet you at 8 a.m. Oh. Yeah. Sorry, it took a long time to get there.
Oh, I think it's still worth the effort, though.
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay, should we stay with some Canadian themes here before we get to some Prem for the weekend? We may as well, right? MLS weekend, TFC looked really good. Beating Dallas 3-1, Bernadeschi with two goals. One beauty, by the way.
Cracker.
Montreal just fell to a Sam Surge hat trick. Nashville win 4-1. And Vancouver on their 50th anniversary weekend, they tie Austin. 0-0, although they played pretty well in that game. Yeah. Gubs, start with very quickly. Sorry, Greg. Montreal. Is it panic time?
No, I don't think it's panic time. I think they just kind of come down to earth. But I think it's collectively, you know, whether you're a fan or you're Courtois and you're the brass at that club, that there's a disappointment in the lack of consistency in terms of the effort and the non-negotiables. So, you know, on the road, they've been happy to give away the ball a little bit more, try to hit teams more in the break. At home, they play a more intricate, expansive possession style game. But that was just a listless effort. And, completely deserving to be on the wrong end of that scoreline to Nashville, who hadn't had very much success.
Did you see the Preds, Walker Zimmerman at the Preds game?
No.
Nashville's Walker Zimmerman. He's not a predator. Oh, it was brilliant. He was, he had, I guess there's a fish theme with National Predator games. And he had this fish and he starts screaming and he's a hype man for the fans, basically. It's kind of cool. He's a big character, Walker Zimmerman, right? Great name as well, by the way.
Big handsome more of character. Yeah.
Is he? We call him handsome? Yeah.
I would.
Is it the hair? Is the man bun?
Yep. The man bun's part of it. Absolutely.
Are you a man bun fan?
On certain players, yeah.
Really?
Like Walker Zimmerman, I think if he cuts that hair, then he loses some of his power, both in handsomeness and in his quality on the pitch.
Charms and his facial hair. JC and his facial hair.
Yeah.
Right?
I'm going to try a bun.
You'd be great with a bun.
Yeah. Yeah. Craig. Yeah. Cinnamon bun.
Zimmerman bun. Cinnamon bun.
No, I thought like a Cantonese barbecue pork bun would be perfect on Craig's head. You'd get all the Asian, the Chinese people backing you up It'd be amazing. You'd get a nice. Whole new demographic.
We need that market, actually.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah, it's quite large.
It's yeah. pretty big. Barbecue pork buns can be large.
Yep.
Yeah.
Craig, you were going to talk about Vancouver.
Yeah, they did play well. I mean, it was a little unfortunate. 0-0, 32,000 plus there.
Wow.
Record for MLS. I mean, just outstanding. Bunch of former players there. It was a really good event, other than them not picking up 3 points, but they dominated, really. There's lots of chances.
Yeah, we were talking to Carl Valentine on Three Questions last week, and he was talking about how they're really making an effort with the alumni at that club and how it's yep. been difficult, you know, and for obvious reasons, resources mainly. But it's good to see the ex-players getting, you know, led out there and that history of that club. It's been around for a long time. We shouldn't forget that. And there's some big personalities from the past who should be remembered at all times.
Craig, did the Whitecaps ever reach out to you while you were moving into broadcasting just because of your being born out there and all that kind of stuff? MLS?
No.
I know Earthquakes no. reached out one time, right?
Well, because Frank was there?
Yeah.
What, to play? Or to broadcast?
No.
To play?
No.
Neither?
Oh, well.
No.
You're really being cryptic here.
Mm. Well, I mean, there was a time when I thought maybe I would have a go at MLS, but I was making more in broadcasting.
That's crazy, isn't it?
Paper or plastic?
Different generation.
Yeah.
Because you at the time, because I remember when you first came back to Canada, you could have still played. You knew that. You had some game in you still.
Yeah. But I wasn't going to come back. I mean, it's MLS. I mean, if I was going to play, I was going to keep playing in England, really.
Is that because you're a snob?
No, because you lost. The league
is a lot different now than it
yes,
was.
Yes, right? No kidding. I definitely, yeah, exactly.
It was more of a how gal that he lost down there.
Hey, this league is going places. There's no stopping it. I believe that. MLS is going in the right direction. They're doing an amazing job. Don Garber's done a fantastic job. I mean, you can't get away from that, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. From where they've come from and where they are now, and it's just the momentum and the whole Messi thing, I think it's been fantastic. By the way, I mean, if anybody hasn't seen the highlights of Messi on the weekend, it's worth looking at. It's stunning. It's absolutely stunning. 5 assists and a goal. Mm-hmm. Suarez, 3 goals. It was just, they just destroyed these MLS defenders.
I've never seen, I mean, I agree with you, MLS is going places and it's a really solid league, but then you see the terror in the defenders' eyes when they face Messi and the space they give him. It's like, this is still in some ways a bit of a bush league because, holy, I know it's Messi, I get it, but you have to at some point try and get the ball from him, mm-hmm. don't you? Do you see the space they give him every single week? It's crazy. Yeah.
You're talking about somebody who's just on another planet. Like, it is so difficult to play against at the top level, let alone, you know, you've got, I would say MLS is top heavy, forward heavy, the money spent in the forward positions. They defenders don't make as much. They're not quite as talented as the front players are. And the space, yeah, you could just see it. It's just like MLS is just, they're doing everything like they do in the Premier League. It's just slower. Everything's slower than the top leagues, quite, you know, and for somebody like Messi, who's a step ahead of the very best, comes up against players that are just slightly slower. That's a lot slower for him. He's seeing things 3-4 steps ahead of everybody else. I mean, it really is quite something. He doesn't run a lot, but when he sees that opening, he's just gone. He's gone, and his placement of passing and just fantastic. He is absolutely box office. I got to say, he's delivering in every possible way for this league. He could not have done any better to this point.
And if, listener, you are worried about the effusive praise that Craig Forrest is giving MLS, just wait till League's Cup starts.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, remember, Craig, you were supposed to hate MLS, right, according to some people.
No, I agree with you, Forrest. It's incredible.
There's parts of it that I don't like. I mean, we're seeing in Europe, and you see this all around the world, this relegation promotion situation, the thrill of the victory and the agony of defeats and these amazing moments in sports. We saw Ipswich going back up into the Premier League. We lack that in North America as far as that goes. We know that. We don't have that relegation promotion that builds that excitement. But other than that, from a league point of view and how it's run and the stadiums that we're seeing and, you know, the interest in the league is growing, and it's excellent.
Good well, product. We had that in League One, by the way, which kicked off this past weekend. So you want some relegation promotion? Watch in League One. Get out to your local team, will you? And check it out. Jimmy, TFC won 4 straight games, no competitions. Yeah. 3rd now in the East.
No, they had a good
season, eh?
Yeah, very good performance. Very good performance against Dallas. In control. Bernadeschi, I think you guys saw his goal when he comes inside and wraps it in the far corner. He's been electric over the last couple of games. Really has been fun to watch. Scored 2. And then Matty Langstaff as well, getting his first goal this season. So overall, great performance. Good 3 points at home as well. But they just need to carry this momentum on now.
Yeah, I mean, they've had a good run of games teams that, you know, are below 500. The league is, you know, when you talk about parity, there really is a lot of parity in the league. It's hard to see anybody dominating. Okay, Miami at the moment, but it's hard to see any team really dominating. They're all, you know, it's very close, and it's very difficult to pick a potential winner from the group and who's going to be that team
after Miami.
Yeah. if wouldn't mind Miami winning it, would they?
No. I mean, you watch them. If they do stay healthy, and it's a big if, they're going to win this thing, right? And it's a big if. It's still relatively early, and Suarez scores a hat-trick. He's not moving like he used to, that's for sure, but he doesn't need to because Messi just puts the ball on a dime for him every single time. But they get the new guy. They sign this Rojas, mm-hmm. and he scores 2 goals. This team with injuries.
Well, Suarez had that kind of side scissor kick that he put in. It would look great, but it took him like 17 minutes to get up after it. Right? Like, it's like, oh shit, my groin.
Well, that was one where Messi's in the box, right? And the defender is just refusing to go to him. It's like 3 feet. He's like, come on, challenge him for Christ's sakes. And just picks Suarez out. Crazy.
Nobody wants to be skinned, so they're standing off him.
He's 36 years old, for Christ's sakes, you know?
Unbelievable.
Over the hill.
Apparently. Do you think after that match, Suarez and Messi were in South Beach just hanging out thinking, we could play another 10 years here?
Well, yeah, they had the F1. You know they had a box, right? You know they're in the box hanging out with every F1 billionaire going, hey, how can we push Red Bull a little more here? Can we? Yeah. There's something going on, right?
Messi went to the Miami Heat game too last week.
Right.
They thoroughly seem to be enjoying themselves, don't they? Messi and his boys. They're just loving it. They can't believe their luck. No. They're making probably more money now than they ever have. At least Messi is certainly. And he's just loving it. Easy league, bossing it. Team's doing well. Fans are just, you know, embracing him. What a life.
Where in Canada would we go to get that type of adulation? Where's the hotbed of Footy Prime?
I think maybe your tent in your backyard.
It could be.
It's the only place.
Maybe we'll find out in a few weeks' time.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. When we get to announce a certain little something.
Well, we should be talking about it now. June 6th.
We probably can, right?
Yeah. June 6th, we're going to be having an event, our first Footy Prime event at our friends Nickel 9, and we'll have some things to announce and some partnerships to talk about. So it's exciting, and we'll be come to wearefootyprime.com to get more information. We'll be putting that up in the next week.
Yeah, tickets will be available, and it's going to be a ton of fun. We're even going to fly Dubs in.
Wow.
Yes.
Very exciting.
I want to make fun of that, but the fact is we have to have you here because you are by far the most popular person on the
planet. We're not flying her in. She's taking the bus.
Well, okay. Yes.
The mega bus.
We're flying her in.
She's got the front seat above the driver.
What's that, Jimmy? 4 stops.
So she's flying in, but she's got 4 stops. She's got to go to Halifax, Winnipeg, Calgary, then into Toronto.
Yeah. It's all I was going to say. Yeah, because I'm coming for the women's national team game. So they're playing at Stade Saputo against Mexico on June 1st. And then they're going to be in Toronto on June 4th. So I'm going to watch the one in Montreal, obviously, and then I'm going to come to Toronto for the one on June 4th. So I'll have to leave probably immediately following the game in Montreal in order to make it to Toronto on time based on the fare that you guys have given me.
That's right. It's an 18-hour round trip.
That's right.
So June the 6th, and stay tuned. There's more information about that. But we welcome all our free primers out for a really fun night. Well, I can't guarantee it'll be fun, but we'll plan for it to be fun. Anyway,
it's just terrible kind of publicity.
What's the last time? And just like
they'll be just lining up for tickets.
Yeah,
no, I think that promotion.
Yeah, we'll see, and see it. We'll embrace the adulation, put it that way. But more on that on wearefootyprime.com, our social channels, the next few days.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
What up, Primers? It's JC, that guy. Don't miss a second of Premier League action only on FuboTV. Subscribe at FuboTV.com/FootyPrime. With Serie A, League One, and One Soccer 2, you can get it all at FuboTV.com/FootyPrime. Now, back to the show.
Should we get some CPL Corner? Before we get to the Prem, I love
CPL.
Do we have an opening yet, JC? Are we still working?
It's CPL Corner. Oh, no, that's the wrong one. Sorry.
Funny picks. It's CPL Corner.
On Freddie Bryan.
I was just waiting on the confirmation of if we were going with CPL Corner starring Jimmy Brennan or...
And Brett, yeah.
Brett actually...
Labuski.
Yes, Labuski. Not the big Lebowski.
I know.
No, he puts Jimmy in the corner. Well, except the CPL. Oh, this is the CPL corner with Jimmy Brennan.
Can I just say my favorite bit about that was JC mouthing the words as it was playing.
Did I do that?
Yes!
I did that when I read books in school. I was a very special boy.
It's funny on subways or the bus or whatever, when we see people reading and they're mouthing it, it's like, you stupid bastard. You are pretty dumb.
I bet if you move closer, it was just be barely audible.
So this CPL corner is brought to you by Brett the Big Lebowski.
Big Lebowski.
Make sure you read Brett's column, CPL Corner, on wearefootyprime.com. It's fantastic. And we're going to be embedding, the plan is, embedding this little segment of Jimmy within that as well. Okay? One of us is, whoever's the most, trained in such things. But Jimmy, let's get right to it. Another fun weekend in all things Canadian Premier
League. It was a fun weekend, but it was also a fun week, Charm, with the Canadian Championship as well.
Look at that.
All fun.
Charms?
It was all fun. We'll start off with Ottawa. Ottawa breaking a record, beating Valor 7-0 in the Canadian Championship. That, in five games, Valor has conceded 17 goals. Four league games plus a Canadian Championship. 17 goals conceded, only two scored. They're not having the best of times at the moment. Forge ended up beating York 3-1. Jordan Hamilton getting a brace with Chouinard also chipping in for another goal, beating York 3-1. Cavs as well, beating Vancouver 1-0 in the Canadian Championship, which gives them a tie now against the Whitecaps. Pacific ended up beating TSS Rovers in penalties. Very tough match for them. And they were lucky as well because they ended up scoring, I think, with 10 minutes to go to take it into penalties, went into overtime. But they ended up getting the result that they needed. Halifax Wanderers, again, another team that's struggling in the Canadian Premier League, hasn't picked up any points. Ended up losing to League One Quebec team SC Saint-Laurent. They ended up losing in penalties as well. Good turnout, but disappointing result for them. Going into the weekend, again, Ottawa beating Valor, again, 2-0. So Ottawa beat Valor 7-0 in the Canadian Championship. Then they played them again on the weekend, beat them 2-0 at home. Del Campo and Antonoro were the two that ended up scoring.
So progress.
Nine goals conceded from Ottawa against Valor, which is absolutely crazy. No goals scored as well. Valor didn't really threat. Didn't seem into the game. They seem to have a lot of issues right now. Pacific ended up beating York 2-0. Rion Moore ended up getting the first goal after 15 minutes. And then Adonijah Reed ends up coming on in the 77th minute. His first touch was a shot on goal, but it was ended up given to Max Ferrari for an own goal. They came away 2-0 winners. Very comfortable win for them. Calgary ended up beating Vancouver 3-1. Prior to that, they ended up playing Pacific. They did everything right, just could not find the back of the net. This was a match against Vancouver where everything seemed to click for them. The dominant performance, controlled the match, created an awful lot, and ended up winning 3-1. Borchevsky ended up getting two goals. One was a penalty. And then Charlie Trafford going on a mazy run from halfway.
Love that goal.
All the way. You could see his teammates were asking for a pass, but he was saying, nope, I'm going the whole way here. Ended up putting the back of the net, and the celebrations were absolutely fantastic. Which pushed them up the table.
It's funny, like, tons of Steven Gerrard for that goal. Didn't he find that? He really reminded me of Stevie G, one of his goals. Like, I'm going to take this ball now, boys.
Yeah.
Big long gate, going to go through the midfield, side through it, and just bury it.
Great no, ball. It was a great finish. It was funny because you could actually see Shaw, who's a striker, pointing where he wants the ball as Charlie's running. Charlie lifts his head and actually looks at him and more or less says, piss off. No. And ends up going the whole way. And ends up scoring. So it was a fantastic, fantastic goal. But it was really good. Great football over the weekend and during the week. Lots of goals scored. Some entertaining games, that's for sure.
Yeah, no, it's a real fun weekend. York lost 3 or 4 to start the season, right, as well.
Yeah.
That's a tough start for them, or the new ownership.
Yeah, they're not playing well. They were actually in a playoff position. They've lost now. Obviously, Calgary getting their win, pushed them into that playoff spot, has dropped them out. But the two big teams that have got huge concerns is Halifax right now and Valor. Two teams that are just struggling. No confidence, aren't playing good football at all. So it'll be interesting to see how their week of training goes and get them ready for the weekend, because they've got to do something right. It's not good.
And Valor, I believe, what are they starting the season with 7 or 8 games in all competitions on the road?
On the road, yes, that's correct.
I mean, that's tough enough as it is, right?
Yeah. And it's sad because you need the fans to come out and support that team, right? And having such a bad start to the campaign, that could be a problem.
Yeah,
all eyes on Valor right now, fingers crossed. So this week we have the Canadian Championship continuing. Jimmy mentioned Calgary against Vancouver on Tuesday, and Forge Montreal, yes please, on Tuesday.
Yeah,
that'll be interesting now.
11 a.m. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
They should have, if they are doing this properly, which is always an alleged in Canadian soccer.
Just like, but they're Kevin
starting
Spacey.
Yeah, they're starting at 11 for a Tuesday match. They should have every soccer association talk to, it's the end of school.
No, that's
they
what they're doing.
Every kid. Yeah,
it's a school game.
Yeah,
it's a school game.
Yeah, but not just school game, but everyone, like, and their parents. And that, like, that's the only way they're going to get.
No, they've been planning this for a long time, right? Yeah. The hope was it was going to be against, was it Halifax, right? The 500th CPL game, big celebration. And then I believe certain parties, Montreal had a very few windows available to them. So they couldn't play that CPL game, which has rubbed some people the wrong way, I think, the 500th at that time. Because it's a great concept, right? You do it once a year, you get the kids out. That's how you build a fan base, I think. But still, you're playing Montreal. It's pretty great. You're playing an MLS team. And listen, as we discussed earlier, Dubs, the way Montreal's playing right now, they're under the gun right now. They got to put in a good performance against the best in the CPL. Could be a bit of a shocker on the cards here, no?
Could be. You know, it seems every year, though, in a Canadian championships, they end up against Forge and maybe not doing so well in league play. And then they rotate. You'll probably see Sebastian Brezza instead of Joe Sirois, give him a run out in the Canadian Championship for Montreal, and see a few faces that maybe you haven't seen so far this season through 10 games. But as you said, pressure's on to get that win against a team that's highly competitive and lots of quality on the opposite side. So yeah, they'll be having to bring their A game to Hamilton for sure.
And Wednesday, Atletico against Pacific. That's juicy. And Saint Laurent.
So well done. Yeah.
Yeah. Against TFC, which is on intriguing Wednesday as well. Highly
at
intriguing.
Centre Claude Robillard.
You think John Herdman's saying we want 8 goals in this one, 7 goals in this one? Last time against Simcoe. Of course, remember that storyline.
Quiet.
Yeah.
Internal goals. But we know how well St. Laurent played last week. So it should be an interesting one there. Okay. Thank you, Jimmy, for CPL Corner. And
that was awesome.
Thank you.
I think maybe we put like a music bed to it. What do you think, JC? Yeah?
Yeah.
Kind of cool.
This is a couple of times you've used word that has bed in it. So you said we should embed Jimmy's video or like the clip in Brett's written column, and then you said we like a bed. I don't know what you just last said. So maybe the image that we use, we get Ron to do a mock up of Brett and Jimmy in bed together.
In bed together.
CPL Corner.
That's no, great. We don't have to do that.
But we could do it.
You haven't met Brett yet. Dismissed it.
They're in bed on the corner, like at the corner at a corner kick. But
you know, right. If we're embedding music, should we embed like some Barry White or something
like
that?
Oh, it's so good. Jimmy's thrilled.
Corner.
Don't be scared.
Maybe it could be a segment of our live show on June the 6th at Nickel 9 Distillery. We could have like a bed. And they have CPL Corner, and Brett comes up with Jimmy. They both lie in bed together and talk about the CPL.
Brett, that'd be awesome. And Brett, your ticket from Vancouver, you'll have to leave tomorrow.
It's on the same fare as me.
That's right.
On the cargo train.
That's right. Start running with your hobo stick, Brett.
Beside the conductor.
I didn't forget that Brett's in Vancouver. That does put an obstacle in our way. One day we'll be able to afford to fly everyone out.
Yes, one day.
One stop. All right. So to the Premier League, the English Premier League, we'll get to, shall we? Nothing really changes that much in the table, right? City smash Wolves 5-1. Haaland, 4 goals, Craig. 25 on the season, 3 games left. He could hit 30, you know, in what's been a really disappointing campaign for him.
Yeah, right. Well, he missed some games, but he's an absolute machine, isn't he, when it comes to finishing? He's like, they're talking about it, you know, his open play, some of his, that part of his game and ball at his feet and all that. It's like, who cares? I mean, this guy, you put it in the box, he makes runs, great runs. He can finish every possible way, left, right foot, penalties, headers. He's just a natural goal scorer. Brilliant.
City are just, the foot's right down on that gas at the moment, isn't it?
It is. It's hard to see them dropping points, isn't it?
It really is at this point. I mean, Arsenal's playing well too, right? They took care of Bournemouth 3-0. Declan Rice, another masterclass from him.
Oh, man, he's brilliant, isn't he?
Does it all. He's adding goals to his CV now as well, isn't he?
And did you hear David Moyes talk about the reason why they've conceded so much? So they're on the wrong end of that 5-0. Defeat to Chelsea, right? Who all of a sudden they're in incredible form, right? Yeah. Europe all of a sudden is within reach. But they said, you know, what's the difference between last year and this year in these big results and these goals that you're conceding? And he had two words for them. And he said, Declan Rice.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. The best midfielder in England, he said. So yeah, it's a very good point. I think West Ham fans are, you know, talking about Moyes and wanting change and all this. So you look back over the few years that Moyes has been in charge, and you have to say that he's done an amazing job. Forget about the way he's playing and all that, but they've been in Europe for 3 straight years. It's been fantastic. Be careful what you wish for, West Ham fans.
Yeah, who said that? Someone said that over the weekend, actually asked about David Moyes. Oh, it was who's the famous actor? He plays the East End gangster all the time. Ray Winstone.
Oh, Ray Winston, yeah.
They interviewed him, and he goes, just care for what you wish for.
Yeah, that's right.
You don't know what's out there, right?
No.
Liverpool beat Spurs, smashed them 4-2. It was 4-0 at one point in that one. Four straight league losses for Spurs were kind of pulling a bit of an Arsenal, aren't they, late in the season? But they were losses, Newcastle, Arsenal, Chelsea, Liverpool, right? So pretty good teams. Jurgen Klopp's penultimate pumping of his fist. I did that for Carrie. She wanted me to say penultimate a few times. I love that word. It's just great, penultimate. But yeah, he was pumping his fists once again there. Highly emotional. But yeah, a win doesn't mean much at this point. Brighton beat Villa. So Villa 7 points up on Spurs for fourth place. They're going to, barring something crazy, going to finish in the Champions League, which is amazing. Forest win, Jimmy. Luton lose. I think we know he's going down though, don't we?
Yep. The valor of the Premier League in Sheffield United. They've conceded over 100 goals in the Prem.
That's incredible.
That's all three teams that they got promoted last year in the bottom three, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And how many points would keep you up? I mean, is it like 5 points to keep you up? Like it's incredibly low number.
Yeah. What is it now? Let's look at the table here.
Because what's Forrest 30, on
32 now? Points could keep you up.
Yeah. Is Forrest on 29 now, Jimmy?
They're on 29, yeah.
Yep.
29, yeah. 3 points ahead of Luton.
West Ham was relegated 1 year with 43 points.
Yeah, it's crazy.
It could be 30, could be the magic number, couldn't it? That's insane. That is so low.
It's disappointing, right? There's a gap there, you know, in that top of the Championship and the bottom of the Premier League. It's right in there in that sweet spot, and teams really struggle. I mean, Ipswich are going to go up. They spent £4.5 million in the last couple of years. They've done an amazing job getting there, but man, it's just a different world they're getting themselves into.
Forrest, have you been wearing that tracky top all weekend?
Yeah, I haven't. I've been sleeping in it. I haven't taken it off.
It's with an iron break.
They walk away on its own at this point, I bet.
Yeah. Hey, have you worn it out? Did you wear it out?
Did I what?
He didn't go out.
Wear it out in the street.
Yeah, it's a little short around the body because of my aircraft carrier torso, but
so it's a crop top.
It's a crop top.
It is a bit of a crop
under his
top.
Pecs.
Yeah, seriously, though, Forrest, are you still on a high?
Absolutely.
Is the official if Switch are going up?
Yeah. I got up early and watched the game. It was on the zone at 7:30. There was never any doubt. Obviously, the Leeds result, they needed to win, and they ended up losing at home to Southampton anyway, so it didn't matter. But Huddersfield didn't offer much resistance. There was never in doubt of any problem there not getting the win. Ipswich were all over them. And Huddersfield don't like Leeds either, so they don't care as much.
Craig, as Ipswich's most famous fan, can you get in hold of their second most famous fan, Ed Sheeran, and try and get him on the show?
Yeah, I got him on a speed dial. I could probably get him on the show and right now.
Could you do it? That'd be fantastic. That would help the numbers, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, you had been disappointed because he was in the States. So
I think he was in – was it States or was it
– Yeah, he was in Miami for
Miami,
the
Miami, was it? Yeah,
F1.
But he found a bar that showed the game with Ipswich fans.
Yeah.
Which is kind of cool, having a pint there. Yeah. So that was great. Because he sponsored them, didn't he, for a while? Didn't he sponsor the show?
He sponsored them now. That's their, oh, that all that. Yeah.
Good for him.
I wonder if he'll be the shirt sponsor next year. I mean, he obviously can afford it, but – we're talking, it's a big jump in money. But it'll be interesting to see what he does there. But he loves the club and loves being involved with it. I mean, he could buy the club if he wanted to, but
hey, it's worth a few more bucks now, that's for sure.
Yeah, no kidding.
It's good. I'm so happy to see them back in there. Just when I look about, when I watch football in England in the 80s, like Ipswich was always there. It's like Forest too. They should be in the Premier League, those kind of clubs.
It's something magical and about a town, Ipswich town is a small place. It is stuck out there in Suffolk, and historically they've done just amazing things for being such a small town. And up until recent years, they were the smallest town to win a European trophy.
How small is Ipswich? What's the population there? Do you know offhand?
A couple hundred thousand, maybe. The greater Ipswich area.
No, it's great. Good for them. And we will get someone on, either from the club or from a podcast or someone, to talk more about that.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Story. They've got a parade today, so they're at this present as we speak. They're expecting 50 or 60,000 people in downtown. So
what I loved, though, over the weekend was a couple of websites from over there welcoming Ipswich back to the Prem, and they had pictures of Craig from 1992. It was brilliant. It's like, welcome back to the Premier League. It's like, yep, there's our boy right there.
It's brilliant.
It was great.
Honestly, I didn't see this happening. A couple of years ago, they had a better chance of being in the conference than being in the Premier League, I thought. 4 years in the first division. Then
what's the guy's name again? Kieran McKenna,
yeah.
Yeah, McKenna, yeah. So because people are saying it's a miracle. It's not a miracle, though, is it? If you actually read what they've done, how they've built that club through his coaching, his management, they've been really smart. And this is through graft and hard work and a strategy and a system. It's not a fluke.
Mm-hmm. No, and they play really attractive football, keep possession, possession-based, did it really with consider the right way. And McKenna is only 37 years of age. It's kind of a little bit sort of close to what Sir Alf Ramsey was at the time, and even Bobby Robson coming as a young manager to Ipswich. Some similarities there. Another manager doing, I mean, back in the day in 1961, Ipswich were promoted into the top flight. And then that next year, they won the top flight with Sir Alf Ramsey. So that's amazing stuff.
What'll be interesting, though, is that last year, Burnley played the right way, possession, beautiful football, and they didn't change when they came to the Prem, and it's cost them. Now they're going to be going back down in all likelihood. Will Ipswich play a different system, different style, I wonder? More successful style for a team like them in the Prem to start things off?
I don't see him changing an awful lot as far as the style of play goes. I think he'll live and die by it.
Right.
But again, watching that game against Huddersfield, good football, but it's just a little bit slower. You know, closing down from these teams is just not quite as quick, and everything is going to speed up significantly in the Premier League. So you have to be at your very best every single week. And they're going to have their problems. They're going to have their losses, and they're going to go through really bad patches, and they're going to have to live with that. But if they can finish 17th next season, mm-hmm. take that.
Absolutely. In Spain, Real Madrid, they clinched La Liga. Girona beat Barcelona. They've qualified for the Champions League, amazingly. Wow. Although UEFA now are looking into it because they're owned by the City Group. And you can't have multiple ownerships in the Champions League. They got to figure this out, because it'd be appalling if Girona didn't get to play in the Champions League because of some rule of the ownership. PSV won the Eredivisie. Leverkusen unbeaten in 48 games now. Anything else in the weekend games you want to get to, guys?
That Leverkusen situation is unbelievable. They keep scoring goals in the 96th, 97th minute to keep that unbeaten run going. Yes. It's astonishing, really. I mean, expect it from Bayern Munich, maybe, you know, as a club like that, who won, 11 titles in a row. But Leverkusen.
Whew. How many games left in Germany?
Two, I believe.
Is it two?
Two in the league. And then they've got their three left, potentially, in Europe or something. Yeah. So, yeah, they got five or six games left.
Decent season. Okay. I've got
By the way, sorry, we got to give a shout-out to that Theo Blair, who's playing at Motherwell right now. He's lighting up the Scottish Premier League. There's big talks that he could be getting a big move soon. Very good player.
Two more goals this weekend.
Player of the year for them?
Yeah, scored two goals this weekend. One was a diving header and I think a penalty.
Yeah, we're looking to him more because he has played for Canada before, right? He got a cup of tea with Canada a couple of years ago now. Then he kind of disappeared. And now he's making some real noise to make that Copa America squad.
Ooh, I like that late bloomer narrative.
I love late bloomers.
Narrative. Me too. Yeah.
I'm a late bloomer, that's why.
You are.
Did Motherwell buy him from Wolves, or is he on loan, or is he?
Did Wolves let him go? They bought him, didn't they?
No, they traded him. It was like an Amy's choice.
his twin went the other direction.
Away for Theo Blair.
Bear.
Bear, sorry. Teddy Bear. Yes.
Thelonious.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. No, we'll do some coming up. The season's in pretty soon, right? We've got to find content. Jesus. good few weeks for CPL and MLS, put it that way. Mm-hmm. And then Euro starts in Copa America. It's going to be fun, isn't it? I've got a couple of Hmong as well, Sax, if you want me to get to them. Hmong, unless you have
please. Something. No. I was going to throw in, you talked about who won. I won the parlay, my parlay.
Oh, you won?
Yeah, $5. I won $11.84 with
attaboy.
Forest, Arsenal, and City. Just so you know, people can win sometimes.
I would have won $40 bucks won. In Holly. But
did you win in your footy pick?
Yeah. Well, I picked Wolves over City.
Oh, yeah.
Well done.
I know.
Just tell me, you never know.
That's right. I'm a seer.
I won mine as well. I put a couple bucks on Penrith winning the golf PGA tournament.
Oh, good for you. Good Richmond Hill boy. Yeah.
Yeah.
I had Burnley beating City. Didn't work out so well. Okay, so it's among as well, Sack.
What was that paying? 15-1?
Yeah, well, I just thought, you know, you get weird results this time of year. You know, Burnley are playing a little bit better right now. Newcastle, wasn't it? They played Newcastle, not City. But they got smashed regardless. Anyway, right. Among as well, Sack. We were discussing last show what the Utah NHL team should be called.
Right? Oh, yeah, this is good.
Yeah. Bob Winier, 7042. He says the Utah polygamists.
Polygamists.
Yeah, polygamists.
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 Polygamist.
Polygamists.
Jeez.
It's polygamist is how you say it where I come from.
Which is Mississauga?
Yeah. Private school in Sussex.
Leverage.
Leverage. Yes, but regardless, whether you pronounce it polygamists or polygamists, it's a very funny one. I amuse that.
That's the new name of the Utah NHL team.
Yeah, that was what.
Oh, I wasn't listening. I was texting.
You were listening. Jesus Christ. Can we take this last minute out of the show?
Not our take finest my comment moment. Out.
Not our finest. Polygamist.
Ken Tabata, 166, a boy. He says, grand piano room. Does Dan Wong live in a mansion? Is there money in podcasts? Is Dan Wong the master embezzler?
Oh, yes.
He's a master baiter.
I was going to say.
Not sure about embezzler.
That's not far from the truth.
And Richard Ferguson, 6893, says, which happens first, Quebec getting a CPL team or Shams properly pronouncing Saint Laurent?
Oh, geez.
Just did. Just
you
did
not.
Richard.
No, you could work on that. We'd all give a little laugh in the bilingual French world for the pronunciation. But you're trying. And that's
I'm trying. I'm giving a good old try for the Gipper.
That's right. Mississauga right. Try.
Yeah. I lived like 6 months in Mississauga.
Where did you live the rest of the time?
There. Try. Maybe a bit longer than that. I finished high school in Mississauga.
Okay.
Oh, who gives a shit? Let's go.
Wait, one last thing from the WSL. Chelsea lost to Liverpool midweek and they were out of it. And then they beat Bristol City 8-0. While City lost just before in advance of that game at the death to Arsenal. Two late goals, like after the 90th minute. So all of a sudden, there's a break now for FA Cup. Chelsea are out of that. But I think there's one game left or two games left, like perhaps this penultimate game coming up. And Emma Hayes gives a – because it was her last game at King's Meadow because she's obviously leaving. Last time in front of those Chelsea fans, and she gave a speech on the field, and she said, "It's not fucking over." Her kid standing right with her. I loved it. So all of a sudden, and they've got one goal up now on City, so that's the first tie break.
Right. So she's talking about the season, not that she might come
back the title.
And coach Chelsea. Okay.
Gotcha. No. Yeah, for Chelsea, just still being in it, because like with their loss to Liverpool midweek, it looked like it was over. It was all but decided it was going to be City's to win. And then now all of a sudden with City's loss and then their big win against Bristol, they're still in it.
Drama everywhere, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Brilliant stuff. All right. So I mentioned those Canadian championship games there. You can find those on Fubo TV. Subscribe FuboTV.com/footyprime. Please do that. That's it. Okay, Jimmy, unless you want to add something else.
No, I prefer talking football. Yeah.
Okay. All right, good. Not where I went to high school.
Not where you went to high school.
We've spoken enough about your thinking high school over the years, but you are more interesting than me.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's
Jimmy's all prickly.
I'm going to say.
He's always prickly. He's a lovely prickly man.
All right. That's Footy Prime. We're back later this week with Montreal 3 questions, TSV 3 questions, Vancouver 3 questions, MLS box to box. And just follow us on socials. You'll find us.
Yeah. Subscribe on YouTube and all the footy
Prime platform.
Leave comments.
Visit wearefootyprime.com.
Yeah, all that kind of shit. All right, players. No, I'm prickly. Fuck you, Jimmy.
This episode of Footy Prime has been brought to you by Fubo TV. Make sure to subscribe to Footy Prime wherever you get your podcasts and follow us on Twitter at @Footy_Prime and on Instagram at @FootyPrimeIG. And visit wearefootyprime.com and sign up for our newsletter.
And we're done. Yeah. Good. Good show, everyone.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.